If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Let me ask you a question as we kick off Crash Davis Outdoors, brought to you by Chili Dogs Foods Fire and B&D Turf Cars. Where are the deer? Now, maybe people aren't posting their harvest on social media like they were. It could be. I have a lot of friends that that hunt, obviously. I have a lot of friends in the industry. And I've seen a few big bucks posted, but I haven't seen pictures of the meat poles, you know, where guys are filling tags for the freezer. I haven't seen them this year. I just haven't. Maybe they're because of community standards and people are worried about blowback and antis and all this other stuff, which I disagree with. You're giving in to peer pressure. You're being censored by a fear of upsetting some snowflake. Oh my God, I could see inside that deer and it didn't have any guts left. Oh no, you're not. You take the guts out and you leave them in the field for the coyotes and the vermin and the raptors to eat. All right, nothing goes to waste. But I'm not seeing those pictures this year. And I don't know why. It could be a combination. I'm not saying I haven't seen any. That's not true because I have seen pictures of some beautiful deer. I saw some pictures of some deer from young ladies that have taken their first deer. Absolutely wonderful trophies. To me, again, any deer is a trophy. Now, I've seen a lot of pheasant pictures. I've seen a tremendous amount of pheasant pictures, and I love that. There's nothing better than a tailgate full of pheasants with a bunch of guys standing there, or girls or kids, whatever, and the dogs tuckered out. That is the best. I've seen quite a few of those. A lot of those are people that I know, which is great. But I haven't seen pictures of deer. I don't know if the deer herds aren't back to copious amounts of deer like they normally have or what the situation is completely. I really don't know. I can tell you this. Three areas that I have access to. Three areas that I've hunted before. All three of the owners have said, yeah, I've just not seen any deer. You're welcome to come down. It's not like they've cut me off. They haven't. I still have access. Don't get me wrong. Accessibility is not a problem. I got access to a lot of ground. And it'd be great to have the opportunity to go out and do that. But they're just not seeing them. I got like a tickle in my throat here. I need to, excuse me a second. I'll take a drink of coffee here. Much better. Nothing like coffee on a cold winter's morning, all right? Or whenever it is that you're listening to this program. But we are gathered around the electric radio campfire. This is Crash Davis Outdoors, by the way. Welcome to it. Coming up, I'm super excited. I'm super excited. For lack of a better term, we're going to pop a young man's cherry when it comes to doing an outdoor interview. A kid that I've known for a long time, and I've seen this kid do a turnaround, man. When I first met him, I was like, okay. All right. Now I'm like, no, this guy's got it going in the right direction. Proof that everybody can improve in their life. Once you put your mind to it, you can chase your dreams. And this kid did it, man. We're going to talk to a friend of mine. His name's Dakota. That's what I'm going to call him because that's what his name is. He's living in Dakota, South Dakota, actually, for a pursuit of his dream. And his dream was to be a fishing guide, specifically an ice fishing guide. That's kind of really what he wanted to do. He loves ice fishing. And we joked around over the years when he was talking about this. I said, well, I will do your first radio interview. And he's like, oh, Crash, nobody else can do it for me. And I think that people in the guiding world and the outdoor world take for granted. They think that everybody knows who they are, and nobody knows who they are. Unless you're a, you might be a big fish in a small pond, no pun intended, but you need to break, you want to get your name out there, you got to break out of the norm. And one of the ways you have to do that is social media. I'm sorry, whether you like it or not, if you want to promote your guide business, if you want to promote your outdoor business, if you want to promote your business in general, whatever that is, whatever your side hustle might be, or whatever your hustle is, you got to get it on social media. Is it evil? Maybe. I don't know. Is it the necessary evil? 100%. You can't sit back and say, oh, everybody knows me because I catch big fish. Everybody knows me because I shoot big deer. No, nobody does. You're being myopic if you think that's the case. But can you build a brand behind your name through TikTok and the Facebooks and Insta slams? That's where you got to do it. And you got to do it consistently. That's how you get the credibility. That's the world we live in. You don't even need to have a website anymore. Although a website does give you an ounce of credibility. They're cheap to put up. You can have a static page. But your content is through social. Dakota gets that. He understands that. He's already putting eyeballs on pages. And by the way, they are smoking the walleyes. Not like literally, but figuratively. Like they're catching. And it's not just them. My friend Todd Heitkamp, or acquaintance Todd Heitkamp, we went to Dakota Angler. Great guy. Does the Ice Fishing Institute. Had him on several years in a row now. The fish that they're posting on the Dakota Angler website out of South Dakota, North Dakota right now, Northwest Iowa, through the ice. Oh my, oh my. And I don't know why I have a harder itch to scratch this year. Matt Price asked me about this yesterday on my radio show. He goes, have you always been this excited about ice fishing? I don't remember being this excited this early. Now's the time of year that I'm starting to think about it quite a bit, you know, the colder weather. Because, you know, once I see the lakes freezing over, the ponds starting to freeze over, then it's like, ah. And we're not going to get any favors next week because of the weather. Nope. I know we're not going to lose the ice, but getting the 40s and 50s isn't going to help anything, right? And we've got a cold snap coming in and behind that. So it's the cyclical flow that is the wintertime. I get it. I understand it. But here I am in the metropolitan area, and I know people from all over the United States listen to this. You can go an hour and a half, 2 hours from right here, where I'm at right now, and the weather's completely different. There's like a line of demarcation of the storm systems that have been going through, and it comes down through Sioux City, through Carroll, Iowa, which is about 98 miles from Omaha. I might be off by a couple of miles, but I'm not. It's a good hour and a half down to Atlantic through Des Moines. When you go east of there, they got a lot of snow. There's parts of Iowa that got over 20 inches of snow. Clear Lake, Iowa's got 10 inches of ice already. Just north of Carroll, well below zero many days. They got 7-8 inches of ice up there, and then here we are with in our area, very little snow, maybe some flurries coming down. Depending on, you know, again, what time of the day you're listening to the show. So it's weird on how much different the weather is. And up in South Dakota, they've got side-by-sides. And by Christmas Day, they're going to have shacks up, which is just insane. They're putting shacks up on Ballards, up on Lake of the Woods. They got 13 inches of ice already. They're making the runway. They're getting the runway ready to go. It's crazy. And they've been, I don't know, for some reason this year, I've been... I just got to get on the ice. And maybe it's because last year we had such a shortened ice season. It was horrific, at least locally. I think I got out 3 times last year, maybe 4. I had one overnight camping adventure. It was super cold that night, and within like 2 weeks, you couldn't get on the ice. It was that fast. It was that quick last year. It left me wanting a lot more. And I'll get into it in the next segment. Or the last segment, one of the two. Depends on when I can get a hold of Dakota. But I'm going down a different avenue as far as heating. Not only my ice tent, but my shed as well. So I'm excited about that. A lot of cool things happening. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit, but I'm going to talk to Dakota, guys. His very first ever radio interview. And I told him, you never forget your first, and he did a fantastic job. Here's the thing. I got to talk to these guys during the week. It's not that big a secret, right? You can't get leaders in the outdoor world on a Saturday morning at 7:15. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because they're doing the stuff in the outdoors. You know what I mean? You work around their schedule the best that you can. And we, I feel, have given you a fantastic product. We're on a new streaming platform. You can now get us Spotify, Apple, iHeartMedia, wherever your podcast go-to is. Look up Crash Davis Outdoors, and you can find it. We've got a bigger reach now than we have ever had. Ever have. In the history of doing the show, I got a bigger reach now than ever. I couldn't be more excited about that. I love it. I love it. Some great things happening. Great new guests, bringing in new content, talking about new things in the outdoors. We're not hemmed in by a border, right? We don't just talk about stuff right here in our own backyard. We talk about things in whoever's backyard it could be. We like to spread it around because the outdoors is big, expansive. Man, there's so much to get into, so much to talk about. We're going to talk about ice fishing, though, a great deal because it is, you know, at that time of the year, of course. It's the most magical time of the year. And I found a new guy on the internet as well that talks about how the best, his tagline is, the best classrooms have no walls. And it's all about stuff being in the outdoors. And I keep going down the rabbit hole of his videos. It's fascinating stuff. And that's the joy of social media. People can bitch about your algorithm all you want. You control your algorithm. You can. Go up into your search bar. Type in outdoors. Watch a bunch of those videos. Type in barbecue. Type in bourbon, cigars. Whatever you're interested in. Golf. I don't care. I'm into all those things. That's why I mentioned them. And within no time at all, that will be your algorithm. You ever notice that? You might be watching a pan fishing video, and all of a sudden, everything you see is about catching crappies and bluegills when you're really a catfishing guy. You know, that's a microcosm, but an example. Or you're like internet sluts, whatever. That's fine. Your whole Instagram feed or your social media feeds are going to be filled with Instagram sluts. That's fine. If you're into that, I don't care. I don't judge. I tell people all the time, I don't kink shame. I'll comment on it. I'll joke about it. I'll make fun of it. But I'll never deny you it. That I will not do. I will never shame it. Because that's your thing. A lot of cool things happening. I'm excited about it. Again, you find Crash Davis Outdoors all over the place with our RSS feed now. And I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about some of the cool things we have lined up. And I'm excited to go see Dakota in South Dakota on Wall Bay, a lake that I have not been to since the 80s. Ah! Long, long time ago, my mom lived in Watertown, South Dakota. And I bank fished off of Wall Bay several times on the advice of my grandfather. He said, just go off the, you can catch walleye on the bank up there. And I am a northern guy. And back in the day, they used to have a pretty good northern population. And now my go-to bait for northerns is a white spinnerbait. But then, especially a double blade, Colorado blades, those really aggravating ones, that really torques them off, and you can get them pretty good. But I used to come, you used to throw daredevils off of docks out there and catch northern. That's awesome. Haven't been up there since then. I think my mom moved out of Watertown in 85. Yeah, so 40 years since I've been to that lake. And going up Christmas, I'm pretty excited about that. But we're going to talk with Dakota Geist coming up next. We'll talk with him and find out what's going on in his world with ice fishing and what it's like being a guide, a brand new guide in the world. It's Crash Davis Outdoors, brought to you by Chili Dogs Foods Fire, 11844 Standing Stone in Gretna. And our friends at BND Turf Cars, bndturfcars.com. More to come, Crash Davis Outdoors. Hang tight.
Good morning.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, not a whole lot. How's it going, man?
Yeah, Crash Davis from Crash Davis Outdoors talking to my buddy Dakota Geis, who's up there in South Dakota, the good Dakota, I might add. He's in the good Dakota, is in the Dakota, up there in beautiful South Dakota right now. Ice fishing season started here, and it stopped. You go 100 miles north of here, and you've got ice, good ice. And you guys are sitting on some pretty good ice up there. First of all, dude, welcome to the program, and welcome to your first ever visit to Crash Davis Outdoors, man.
Oh, appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude, we've shared some time around an ice hole in the past, I've seen your ramp up in ice fishing ability and technique over the last couple of years. Seriously, I mean, you've taken this and ran with it. What inspired you to get that fired up about ice fishing over the last few years?
I don't know. There's something about, well, specifically this region here, but, well, and especially now I'm able to share what I love with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm driving off of the most right now, I will admit.
But what got you? I mean, because you've been open water fishing all your life, right? Since you were a little kid, fishing has been your appeal. But what specifically about the ice has made you like, yeah, this is my focus. Here, this is the direction I want to go. Is there any one?
I don't know. There's it's just a completely different monster. I don't know what it's like, the ruggedness of it, or mm-hmm. The thrill of the hunt, so to speak, is what really kind of gets me going. Because it's nothing like open water. I mean, you really have to put forth a lot of effort. And then there's really great days and really hard days, but the really hard days make the really great days worth it times a million.
Yeah. One of the largest segments in outdoors. There are two segments that are really pushing the charge, and that's turkey hunting in the spring. That's a fast growing sport, and then ice fishing. And it's weird on how for the area that you're at up in South Dakota. We'll talk about that in a bit. Ice fishing has been really a part of the culture, but not like it has been compared to today. Whether it's the technology of the electronics, the technology of the huts, the ability for warm gear, for better gear, for ice pants that float, whatever it is, there's money being invested in that area because it's paying off. Manufacturers wouldn't be spending this much time focusing on ice fishing if there was not a financial return on it. And it is the fastest growing segment in fishing by far. And if you've got on an ice fish, you know what I'm talking about. It can be addicting, but it's a different approach too. And it forces you sometimes to slow down a little bit. Did you find a painful lesson at all? And you know, when you're in open water, you're gunning, you're running around, you're trying all these different baits. But when you're ice fishing, you're like, "Whoa, wait a second!" It's almost like bow hunting. You're in a spot and you got to focus.
Yeah, exactly. It's a totally different approach. And I mean, I've already had that experience up here. We had guys just railing fish in a spot. And we had a group come out the next day, and we gave it a few hours there, and it was just a ghost town. So, I mean, it is just a totally different animal. And that's what I mean, just the thrill of the hunt, so to speak. I mean, that's when you're out drilling a million holes, trying to find them. I don't know. It's really tough to explain.
Yeah,
unless you've actually done it.
Yeah, it is. It's a different world. And one of the things that I tell people all the time, if you're going to take a trip and you're going to go up to a North Dakota lake, a South Dakota lake, or somewhere where you got to drive a couple hours to get there, hire a guide service, right?
Oh, 100%.
Spend the money. 100%. Get a guide service. And you're up there working for a Sattler's Guiding Service. How did you get involved with that particular guide?
Well, I've known him for a few years now. And then just the opportunity presented itself. And luckily, I was in a good position to kind of drop what I was doing and jump on board. And so far, it's been great. And to follow up about what you said in regards to... Yeah, I mean, if you're going that 2-3-4 hour drive to find the fish, sometimes it's just worth, you know, paying a couple bucks to at least get the lay of the land or just somewhere to start, because Google can be your worst enemy almost. I mean, you see these guys and there's a lot of misleading information out there too. And we want everybody to be safe at the same time, especially this time of year. I've been on lakes the past few days that it varied anywhere from, you know, 3 inches of ice to 8 inches of ice. And, actually I put my, whole foot through a hole yesterday. That was scary.
that wake you up a little bit?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So no, and I would highly recommend it. And for us too, like, especially if you already have your own gear and stuff too, just doing what we call a tag along service. I mean, we just show you where to go, where it's been producing, and where it's safe. And you just kind of follow our lead, and we've had some really good success the last few days. One of our customers actually reeled in a 27-inch walleye yesterday already, so we're already seeing some good quality fish.
Oh, that's a monster, dude.
Yep, I failed to send you the picture yet, Grass.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I don't need any more envious photos from you, buddy. I'm already foaming at the mouth. Is there an advantage? Of getting bigger fish early? With early ice, is there a specific advantage of getting after them in December, say, rather than January and February when a lot of guys are traditionally ice fishing?
Well, for me, I've been, especially so far, I've been utilizing wraps. I've been drilling two holes, and I will sit there and just wrap and wrap and wrap until I get a fish in. And then I'll bounce over to a buckshot or whatever. But just getting them to you is the biggest thing, because you're not as mobile right now with no equipment to move around with everybody walking on. So just utilizing what you can from your primary pole would be the most beneficial tip I can give you at the moment.
Are you baiting those rattlers at all or not?
I'm not. No.
Just pure motion and sound.
And just wrapping the hell out of them.
Is that more of an annoyance and an attraction, or is it pique their curiosity?
It's an attraction.
Yeah,
it's definitely an attraction. I mean, I got the live scope there, and I mean, you just see them come in fired up, and you got to really be paying attention because you want to get them when they're moving like that, because that's when they're most willing to bite, so to speak. If you can get them. And as soon as they move in, that's the best time. Otherwise, that split second is all it takes, and then they'll just kind of linger. And, you know, it's fishing at the end of the day.
So when you're doing a tag along, describe to folks who might not, you know, we've done fully guided service on open water before, but never a guided on an ice fishing. So what does that entail? Because like I said, when I've done stuff up in, say, Okoboji or whatever, the guy literally drives you to the shack that he has up there, ice castle or whatever.
Yep.
The holes are done. Here's how everything works. I think the fish are going to be here. Have a good day. We'll see you on Tuesday, right? There's no interaction whatsoever. How does a tag-along work?
Well, so a tag-along, you're basically just joining the rest of the crowd. We all meet at the bait shop at 6:30 here in Webster. And then you just follow us straight to the hole. And then likewise, I mean, you just follow us out to the spot. And we're not afraid to get our hands dirty by any means, especially when that infamous South Dakota wind's blowing.
Yeah.
I'll help you get your hut set up and everything, but you're just running along with the pack is all. We charge $125 a day for that, but with that, we do a 2-day minimum, and that is per person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're coming from hours away, you know, with like zero, it just makes the best of your time, because a lot of folks, including myself in the past, want to make the best of their time up here, because unfortunately we have bills to pay and can't just fish every day like like I get to now.
Yeah, so when that includes, what does that all include? You're showing them the spot and you're letting them go? Do you clean the fish? Do you help them out? Do you give them some tips, techniques?
We'll clean the fish, and I'm offering tips. I'll check in on with guys just like I would guided to see how everybody's going. Definitely give them the tips they need out there. If something's working and something's not, I'm going to share that information. Basically everything. You would be responsible for your own bait too. But again, if I'm out there and you run out of something, I'm going to share. Like, we're not out here just, you know, beating people over the head by any means. We're all out here to for the same objective.
So what kind of besides the walleye, what are we looking at for this time of the year? I mean, obviously everybody loves walleye, but
lots of perch right now. The walleye have definitely been they'll come in, but they're in waves. Been seeing them primarily in the morning, and then obviously that afternoon, evening. But the perch have been really consistent. Biggest one so far, just a hair under 15, so a really good fish.
Mm.
But there's a lot of smalls in there as well. But they're fun to catch to keep you occupied in between the bigger ones.
They're good to eat though too.
Oh yeah, definitely they're good to eat. There are a few lakes up here that we haven't started on yet that, like the crappie and bluegill and such. Mm-hmm. But right now, our primary focus is just the perch and walleye.
Do you have northern in that lake?
Yes. You will find them few and far between. I mean, we're not necessarily out here targeting them. I do got a few guys that were utilizing some jawjackers and tip-ups. I haven't seen one quite yet, but they're in. Yeah, basically everywhere we go, they're in there. But when you're primarily targeting, especially during the day for the perch, you'll see them swim in. But if you're not ready with a buckshot or something, you know, most of the time they're not gonna fire on a jig head like that.
Yeah, they're still fun to catch though.
Oh, they're a blast.
I mean, I've said this before, Dakota. They are my absolute favorite freshwater fish to catch. I mean. Muskie's fun, but you know they tend to roll a little bit more. Those northerns, you get a good 5 to 8 pound northern on it that's pissed and's got an attitude, wants to take your leg off. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go. Talking to Dakota Geis, he's with Sattler's Guide Service up in Webster, South Dakota. Now, if people aren't familiar with Webster and the lakes that you guys are on, what bodies of water do you guys target, and where the hell's Webster?
Well, Webster is really easy to get to. If you know I-29, if you're coming up from Omaha or Sioux City, anywhere like that, you fall 29 straight up north. And the infamous exit 207. If you can remember 207, you can get to Webster. You get off on 207 and you head east about 10, 15 miles and you run right into us. And then as far as the lakes go, right now we're actually in a little unnamed slough. But we do target the bigger lakes like Wabe, Bitter. There's a few other lakes up north that we do service on. It just, we follow the bite, and we work with a group of folks up here. So they'll be on a different lake, we'll be on this lake, and we share information. So, mm-hmm. As long as, if we do real well on one lake and another group doesn't do well on the other lake, we swap spots, you know what I mean? So definitely got a good thing going up here as far as chasing a good bite.
How long before you guys will have side-by-sides up there running around?
To be honest with you, we've heard rumors. I haven't physically seen them, but we've already heard rumors there that we got snow bears out. Yesterday I was on 8.5 inches of ice, but it varies very much. So like I said, anywhere from 3 to 8, it was all approaching 9 yesterday, where I ended up in the evening yesterday. But there's also spots there, especially where the snow was, that you'd see as little as 3 inches. But I think through the weekend here, we have some really nice looking weather to make some ice. I think our first actual trip in the bear is going to be on Monday. So with that being said, four-wheelers, side-by-sides, but definitely be mindful. I mean, you're not going to be driving those everywhere quite yet, but there is definitely some good ice up here to get those on.
What's a snow bear take for ice?
The footprint is different for bears, and that's why a lot of people run them. A lot of folks, the minimum folks want to do is 8, but the manufacturer recommends 10.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely be seeing 10 inches by Monday, if not more.
You guys aren't even going to be above zero part of this weekend.
I know. Yeah, the weather is looking great to make ice. And funny enough, we had rain up here 2 days ago. And normally rain is not a good thing for the ice, but there was so much snow cover. It actually benefited us.
Yeah.
It got rid of a lot of that snow. And now there are, and again, there where that snow is melted, there's some shaky ice on top. But with the negative weather, I mean, it's just all going to solidify. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
I've been talking about this quite a bit, is there's like a hard line of demarcation that kind of goes from Sioux City down towards Atlantic, Iowa. And if you're north and east of that line, for instance, Lake Park, Iowa, this weekend is going to be 20 below zero. That's 20 degrees colder than us, and that's 2 hours away from here, right, from where we're at. It's insane.
It's incredible how much an hour or two distance makes in that temperature. I mean, it is just completely night and day.
I thought about sneaking out there, but putting a tent up at sunrise, 20 below zero.
Well, if you get my old man out there to set up the hut, maybe.
Well, yeah, we're gonna need a couple of heaters on this one. I'm gonna bring my diesel heater up there for sure. I'm excited. I haven't had a chance to play with it, but I got me a brand new diesel heater in a box.
They're really getting a lot of attraction, especially for those guys out there camping.
Well, it's a dry heat, you know. It's a dry heat as opposed to that wet heat from a propane, and it's a lot more cost efficient too for heating up for the BTU. So I'm going to do a series of videos on that because this is going to be virgin territory for me. This is brand new. I mean, I've had the jet heaters when I was growing up, you know, the Nipcos and that sort of thing that ran diesel and or kerosene, those turbo ones. And this is a whole different ballgame from that, but on a smaller scale, obviously. But it'll be interesting to see how this all works out. And I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about the ice fishing season in general. I'm excited to get up and experience some new bodies of water and to pick your brain as the season goes, because I'm assuming your first season of guiding, you're learning a lot already.
Oh, it's been a learning curve, to say the least. And I thought I had my stuff dialed in. When you add in this factor here, there's so many different variables and things, and just keeping organized is the big thing. Right now, the biggest struggle is we're not utilizing any equipment just yet, just to be safe and just getting all that gear out, walking and stuff. But like I said, luckily that rain came because we were pulling sleds through 2 or 3 inches of snow across the whole lake. And now we're just scooting by. So my back is thankful for that.
How long before you start picking up a South Dakota, North Dakota accent there, eh?
I don't know. I think it's coming already. Yeah, it's coming already, and I don't know what it is.
What's going on here? But Sattler's Guide Service, you can find them on. It's Sattler online. Dakota Geisa, and ask for him by name. Get up there and have a great time. Make this winter memorable, because it looks like we're going to have a spectacular ice fishing season. Maybe not in the metro, but you don't have to go far to make some memories. It's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to getting up there over the holiday break and hanging out with you, Dakota. And the last question I have is, when you're doing a tag along with somebody and you put somebody on fish, how bad does it look when the guide catches a lot more and bigger fish? Is that a bad look, or is that like, oh, sorry about that?
Yeah, you know, it's tough, you know. It's definitely tough, but no, so far, the client's been out fishing me, so hopefully
good.
We can keep that rolling.
Yeah, that's the key. That's the key. By the way, I know you got a fancy electric fillet knife, right? How do you like that?
So far, so good. I've only put it to the test on a couple limits so far, but man, it's a game changer. I love it.
I used to have an electric one that I use all the time, back in the day before everything was battery charged. And I can't find it.
Yeah.
And but man, how much nicer a battery powered one be? I mean, you know what I need to do? I just need to give you my fish. Just give you my fish. It's a hair, dude.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just put me to work.
Yeah, here, take care.
Luckily, Luckily, I've scooped mine up from the ice show there in Sioux Falls. So I saved a couple bucks there on mine. But I would, it's worth every penny, in my opinion. I got that new, what is it, the Rapala R12?
Yeah.
I believe. And, oh, man, it's great. I love it so far.
Great stuff. Dude, thank you for taking some time and chatting with me on Crash Davis Outdoors. Again, Sattler's Guide Service, Sattler. Find it out there. You can check out, you get to get with Dakota and get yourself, seriously, if you want an adventure, a great time to get up there and get after it. My brother, be safe. We will see you around the Christmas break, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back once again. Crash Davis Outdoors, brought to you by Chili Dogs Foods of Fire, 1184 Standing Stone in Gretna. December the 17th is their last day to order if you want to make sure it's there by Christmas. That's what we're told. That's what they said. Hey, you want to get it shipped out? This one's got to be ready to go. So get it done. Brand new gift cards you can buy. You can recharge them whenever you want. Pretty cool deal there. Check it out. Need a custom gift basket? We got you. You got some jerky in the ground you need to get turned into deliciousness? We got you there as well. And, of course, B&D Turf Cars, bndturfcars.com. Who doesn't want a golf cart under the Christmas tree? The entire family does, right? Whether you need a box on the back to haul firewood around like I do with mine, or you want to haul the rugrats around in the neighborhood, or you want to haul the acreage, whatever you want to do. They're not judgy about it. Not judgy at all. No custom whatever you want to do. Just get out there and talk to Matt. He'll hook you up. bdturfcars.com. So I don't know if this is normal or not, but I have two people that I'm really close to, two young men that I'm close to that I have a mad level of respect to, who literally have chased their dreams and are now doing it, and that's at fishing. Now, one is a nephew, Brett Blumenthal. Have had him on several times over the last years. He's a guide in South Dakota, or North Dakota, rather, Sakakawea. And he's got a great story. I've talked about it on the program before. He wrote a book about it. It's a great book. It's a fantastic book. And he talks about how he was, you know, look, here's the thing. He was making really good money when he was a hoity-toity finance guy in Des Moines. He was doing well. And it was killing him. Being in that cubicle every day was killing him. He's not the kind of kid that could be indoors. He has to be outside. And fishing was his pursuit. And he loved teaching people how to fish. He's got a great YouTube channel. Great YouTube channel. Does great. Man, I've never been to Sakakawea where he's at. But they just kill the fish up there. I mean, they're slamming them. But he became a guide a few years ago. Against all odds. Everything was against him. Everything was against him. Except for his old man said, dude, you got one shot. Doesn't work, you can always find another job. Always find another job. And, man, that's how many people have said that before. Follow your passion. But we're scared to take that jump. We're scared to take that leap because we like that security blanket of a paycheck. If you can get past that and you can do something that you truly love, rewards will follow. Whatever that is, I don't know what your passion is. That's your passion. But follow it. Man, buddy, my nephew Brett, he did that. I don't know if he's making a lot of money or not. He's happier than hell every time I talk to him. So as far as I know, kid's doing pretty good. He's doing good by his standards, whatever his standards are. He doesn't care what anybody, he doesn't care what I think. I promise you he doesn't care what I think. He doesn't care that I think he's successful. Well, he probably does that. Yeah, he does that. But he doesn't worry about what anybody else thinks. His worry every day, his clients' safety, making sure that they have a good time. Now, here's the other kid, opposite end of the spectrum. And Dakota will tell you his life story. It's not the best. It's not the best. He did a lot of that on his own. His own version. He knows that too. He atones for it. He talks about it. He preaches to others to give them a hand up. He's like, look, hey, I've done all that bad stuff that you did. He's done some dumb things, some things he's not proud of. But he doesn't let those mistakes 15, 20 years ago define him now. And that's what's awesome. It shouldn't. Oh, no, my daddy didn't love me enough. I can't go. Shut up. You're a grown-ass man. Go out and do it. Carve your own way. Find out what moves you.
But my mommy was mean to me and didn't let me have a pudding pop.
Oh, well, buttercup. Go outside. Make a campfire. I don't care. I don't. Because that has no control over how you are, how you think, how you live. Those things come from inside of you. You got to want it. Dakota wanted it. Look at him. Again, different paths completely from Brett. Same conclusion. Helping people fish, doing what you love. It's a lot of work. Man, these guys, they bust their keisters off. There is a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes to make sure that your clients have a wonderful time. It's great. I love it. I'm so proud of both of them. I am. Man, and I've never once, when Brett told me his deal, I'm like, oh, okay, well, good for him. And talking to him through the process of being a guide, every time I talk to him, I'm more and more proud of him. Dakota, right out of the gate, I'm like, dude, you're killing it. You're killing it. I love it. I love to see that you have chased your passion. I know where he was at. I watched some of it. And I've seen where he's at now, and I'm like, dude's got it. He's got it going on. He's killing it. He's putting the focus in where it needs to be. He's going to kill it. He's going to murder it. It's going to be so good. Can't wait to watch him do this. It's going to be neat. And I know he'll be successful. He's already successful because he took that first step. He took that first step. He wasn't scared. Oh, no, what if I fail? Well, what if you succeed? Right? Oh, you failed? Get another job. Who cares? There are a lot of jobs out there. Big deal. Find something to do. But this is what he loves. This is his passion, and he's going to kill it. And I can't wait to get up there and see it. He did a fantastic job. I didn't coach him for that first interview. It was just like him and I just sit around talking, right? He's a natural. Brett's the same way. It's just weird that I've got family members. And I considered, look, Dakota's old man and I are pretty close for a lot of reasons. I consider Dakota, I care enough about him. He's like family to me. He's extended family. And I want him to succeed so bad. And I have no doubt that he's going to just kill it. That's the key, man. It's never too late. Do what you want to do. I've been doing this. I love doing this radio show. I've been doing this since 2004. And there are sometimes it's an absolute time killer. I don't have time to do it with everything else I've got going on. But I get so much joy and satisfaction out of it. And I get even the negative comment. I don't get as many. Maybe I'm not pissing people off anymore. I don't know. Or maybe they just gave up because I wasn't going to change. But more than a dozen times, I've been reminded that you don't know anything about the outdoors. You're the worst outdoor person there is. I probably am. I am. I'm a terrible bow hunter. I'm a terrible pheasant hunter. I'm a terrible supporter of whatever. But I'll do the best that I can with my limited resources. You know, I'm not the best crappie fisherman or walleye fisherman. I love doing it. Never claimed I was. But I know what I can do. I can find the cool people in the industry and let them talk. Whether it's Ted Nugent, Jim Shockey, James Leggett from the Heartland Kayak Fishing Association. Talk kayak fishing with Marty Hughes. Talk ice fishing with Dakota Geis. I don't know. Just talking to people. That's fun. That's what I'm good at. Here's why I can give you every indication that I'm a terrible hunter. I started the show talking about how the three properties that I have really good access to. One of them is my brother-in-law's. And another one's, both of them are friends that I've had for 3 decades. Right? They got great ground. not far from my house. None of them have any deer. Whether it's chronic wasting disease, drought, whatever, whatever the case may be, whatever it was that took out the deer, EHD, whatever. I have no idea. They're gone. They haven't come back yet. A few more this year. I can tell you how there's no deer. I live next to a state forest. Literally across the street from my home is a state forest. You used to be able to see all the way through the woods because there was so much browse. The deer would eat and everything. It's blocked up right now to the point where I think the forest is starting to get choked off and they need to go in and clear some. They won't. But there's so much food that's not getting eaten right now that the shrubs and brushes. Is if you go into a wooded area where there are a lot of deer, there's a browse line. You ever heard that term? And you can see a line across the where the deer can't reach up anymore, and everything below that is vacant. It's called browse line. And you used to have one where I live. And in the last 5 years, all the deer have disappeared. They have. They're gone. See a couple here and there now. Now it's more of a rarity. Used to be, I'd have 20, 30 of them on my front yard. Now, I haven't had a deer in my yard in 3 years. That's part of the reason that I'm not hunting, because I need the population to come back a little bit. And I know me not buying a tag isn't going to make that much of a difference, but it is what it is. But here's the main reason, and this might sound stupid. I don't have any room. I don't. My freezers are full. I've got a lot of fish, which I'm excited about. I got a lot of great fish. I got a few pheasants. I got a lot of pork and a little beef. But I don't have room for a deer. I would love to have a venison to have around. Because my wife and I, we love deer meat. My kids love deer meat. I don't have any room for it. And I am, at my very core, a meat hunter. I appreciate a big rack, and I cannot lie. I do love me some good racks. But I can't do it. I got nowhere to put it. I'd love to. I'd love to put a big old fat doe on the back of my truck with a pointy stick on it. I'd love it. But I got nowhere to put them. So that's why I'm not hunting this year, at least deer. I mean, I don't have any room. I would love to go goose hunting. I have nowhere to put the meat. So how can I, as a conservationist, how can I, who is an adamant believer of consume what you harvest. Fish is easy. I find room for fish. I'll eat that stuff as it comes off the hook. Right? You know what I mean? I got saving up a bunch now so I can make a bunch of homemade pickle fish, which is one of my favorite things in the world. Going to do that. Can't wait to do that. But at the same time, that doesn't take up a lot of space. I still don't have room. And I do miss being out there a lot. And I'll be out there again. I'll be out this spring for turkey. I might even participate in some conservation hunts for snow geese come February, March, depending on how the flight works. If I can get hooked up with my buddy Sean Holly from Cup Wing Outfitters to do that, that'd be great. I have no room this year to hunt. First world problems, I get it. But it is what it is. Thanks again to Dakota Geis. Dude, those guys are going to kill it. And I will be doing some videos and whatnot up there from the guide service later on this summer, or summer, here in a couple weeks, with a Sattler guide. I'm going up there over Christmas. We'll get some videos and get those posted on Crash Davis Outdoors. But thanks, Dakota. Great job. Look forward to having you on Crash Davis Outdoors once again. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it. Thanks to my friends at BD Turf Cars at BDTurfCars.com. And also, thank you to Chili Dogs Foods of Fire. Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas to everybody. If I don't catch you next week, I hope you have the best holiday season ever. And Pappy, as always, thanks for the inspiration.